Rolling along, thanks to Kyle Lindstedt for taking time out of his day. We really appreciate that. Golden Gophers into the round of 32. Just 40 minutes away against a rival from the Sweet 16. Wouldn't that be something?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wouldn't that be something? Friday, today, 8 of the 16 games, Shane, are 5-point spreads or less. 7 of those 8 are 4.5-point spreads or less. So don't tell me about upsets coming in these games, because by the standard that we set yesterday, the point spread, you can't have a big upset amongst these games. Cincinnati, Iowa, OU, Ole Miss, Buffalo, Arizona State, Wisconsin, Oregon, Washington, Utah State, UCF, VCU, Iowa State, Ohio State, and yes, Kansas State, UC Irvine. K-State on the morning board is a 4.5-point favorite over the 13th-seeded Anteaters. So I guess
upsets and name only,
according
right?
to the wise guys.
Yeah,
upsets and names only. The wise guys say these are the ones that are basically toss-ups. No upsets amongst those 8 games, including UC Irvine at 12, Oregon at 12. Yeah, they're at 13. Oregon's at 12. So there you go, for whatever it's worth. Cincy, Iowa's a 7-10. You've got 4 blowout alerts. Tennessee, Colgate, Virginia, Garner-Webb, Duke, North Dakota State, North Carolina, Iona, all 17.5 or better. 3 of them are 22 or better, which really leaves you with 4 games as potential upset games. Texas Tech, Northern Kentucky. Texas Tech's a 13-point favorite. Houston, a 12-point favorite over Georgia State. Mississippi State's a 6.5-point favorite over Liberty. And Virginia Tech is a 10.5-point favorite over St. Louis. So anyway, I mean, I don't know. Do you agree with the logic there?
I do, but you're going to be wrong somewhere. We just don't know where.
The logic is
rock solid, but one of these or more of these games is going to, I think, and history proves, turn everything upside down. Whichever game you choose, it's going to be a rout in Utah State, Washington game, Wisconsin, Oregon game.
Okay.
You know, the coin flip game, somebody's going to kick the hell out of somebody else, but we just don't know which one it's going to be. That would be my take there. And we can talk about UC Irvine and K-State in a second, but pace of that game is, I don't even know if it's intriguing, because both of them like to play slow, and the over-under is 119. So you better be, especially if you're a K-State fan, you're going to be on the edge of your seat gripping on every single possession, just because there probably won't be very many of them. 869-1240 if you want to talk about the madness today, and Bill has elected to do so. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Love you guys' show.
Good.
Just a quick comment on the New Mexico State game. Of all the years that both of you have been watching this tournament, have you ever seen in a 6-second span that New Mexico State had basically 4 possessions to win the ball game? He broke into the paint. He could have made a layup.
Yep.
He chose to kick it out. They missed a 3-pointer.
Yep.
Then they got fouled. They missed the free throws. And then Jantz calls a timeout, puts in a brilliant play, and missed a 3-point play. I was just wondering, have you ever seen in the span of that short of time period that a team has 4 possessions to win the ball game? Anyway, that's all I was going to say.
That's a good way to break it down, Bill, and thanks for listening.
Great way. Really great way to break it down. No, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I really didn't. I hadn't gotten over the swinging the pass for the 3 to even start to process the missed 3. And then the 3, I finally caught up with it when they had 3 free throws. And then, of course, had plenty of time to process it because they had to get the time figured out for the last possession. But I was like, I was perplexed initially by the swing out on the drive to the lane, because I thought it was a pretty easy two. I'm not going to say that it was an uncontested two, because I think that if we had seen it play out, it might have been a little different.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a very interesting decision.
And after
after
the fact, and now that we've kind of digested it and kicked it around a little bit, if that layup would have gone, or if it was as open as it appeared, you know, in real time, having it, and of course you don't get to do it all over again. It goes incredibly fast at the time, and you make the plays that you think you should make, and if you're Chris Jans, you put it in the hands of your players, which, as it turned out, you had three free throws to win the game. But hindsight being perfect, don't you want to play five more minutes against an exhausted Auburn team?
Well,
I know you could have ended the game, and that's obviously the best-case scenario.
Well, let me ask you this, Shane. I will give you this choice, and you tell me how you go about making it. Would you rather have a 90% chance to continue a game with a chance to win it, or a 36% chance to win it on a last-second shot? Because that's basically breaking down the decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 10% margin for error that someone slides over, contests the shot, whatever. He gets there for a foul, puts him on the line for two. He doesn't make the layup, whatever the case may be. But the kid's about a 37% three-point shooter. I would take a little away from that for the duress of the moment, taking the shot quickly and the pressure of the moment, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Would you rather have, in most situations, a 90% chance to continue the game and win it in overtime, or take a 36% chance to win it on one shot?
If it were truly a David versus Goliath game, I'd probably, let's go for the jugular, let's win this thing. But and this is hindsight being perfect, obviously, but those two teams battled tooth and nail. You wouldn't know the seeds next to their name if you just watched them play.
No.
So,
right.
Look, you have an opportunity for not a dead layup, but pretty close. Your guy beat two guys on the way to the cup to try to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like trying to, and maybe that kid felt like he might have gotten his shot altered or blocked if he got to the rim. Plus, he was aware enough to know that he drew two guys, so somebody was going to be open. So I can appreciate that.
Yep.
But if the guy makes the three or makes three free throws, so there's two options that you have on the outcome of that ball leaving his fingertips, because after the fact, you know, we found out he got fouled. If you just make two instead of one. And then, of course, he missed the last one, and Auburn had to go out of bounds off of the same kid's hand that missed a free throw down on the other end.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Oh, man, right. That's just...
Look, I know you're not thinking about it all the time, but if you had a clear mind and you were able to really process the information, who was coming hard at the end of that game? It wasn't Auburn.
No.
Right?
Right.
Auburn was trying to hold on desperately by their entrails. New Mexico State was forcing the action. And I know you don't think about that. I mean, it's a totally spontaneous move, and you're making a play, and you know what? More power to you. Now, it ended up actually, really, when you want to get right down to it, and your thought process is right. You know, you bring two guys, someone's got to be open. The irony is that he didn't find the guy that was open because he ended up being fouled on a three-point shot. I mean, there was someone, and it wasn't even close. I mean, it was right. He didn't even draw iron on the shot, I don't think. But be that as it may, I think if you had it to do all over again, and I think that by Chris's, and I went back and looked at the quote that you gave us, he went with the hindsight right off the top. And so you know probably in his heart of hearts that he probably in a perfect – he's going to hang with his guys because that's what he does. I mean, that's part of who he is. But, man, I'm telling you, I really like New Mexico State's chances in an extra frame in that game.
Here's the flip side of that argument, though. Auburn has a chance to catch their breath at the end of regulation if New Mexico State ties
you're right.
it. Now it's like, okay,
you're right.
We puked on our shoes for the last 4 minutes, but now we got a chance to make this right for the next five. There's plenty of ways to go with this. I would not want to be on the plane ride home to Las Cruces now or whenever they're going home, because for as much as you and I are going, what if? I mean, it started
can you imagine them?
It started at the buzzer, you know, when Queen, one of their guys, got an open look in the corner for three to end it again, you know, to Bill's point. How many times did they have a chance to end that game? And Auburn, the players and coaches
hurried that shot a little bit, didn't
he? He did.
Just hurried that shot from the corner. I mean, you know, you and that's the type of thing that you hope you work on enough to know that you can get a pretty good shot off in 1,001, especially if it's a catch and shoot.
Yes.
Which that shot was. I mean, he was wide open. But by the way, how about that diagram to get a guy open? Go back and look at that play. That's right out of the Greg Marshall handbook. Mm-hmm.
Couple and guys cutting to the basket.
That's not taking anything away from Chris Jans.
Yep.
Oh.
One guy flaring to the corner.
Two guys moving, and then one guy slides behind. And, I mean, I'm telling you, wide open look. And he hurried it a little bit. But you know what? That's a natural inclination.
It is. I'd rather get it off early than take a little too much time, and it's still on my fingertip when the red light goes on in the square.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Because there wouldn't have been anything tougher than that if that went through the basket. Too late if he makes it, and it took too long for him to get it off. But that's the finality and the suddenness and all the all the superlatives of March Madness. They aren't all
like that.
Gosh.
It's just it's dope.
God, when your season ends like that.
No question. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're moving on, and you're moving on to play Kansas, a team you probably should have beat way back in November or whatever. But all that's,
yeah, no kidding.
You know, all that.
I mean,
that's
it's not
board.
Like Kansas holds any mystery for New Mexico State, right? I mean, in fact, that's another game they're probably kicking themselves over. I mean, New Mexico State
they
was
had that game
in a
won.
Very strong position to win that game.
Yep.
Absolutely. Could have won that game very easily. All right. So before we roll back to OTD, amongst the four games that we identified as the best four potential upsets, who do you like? Northern Kentucky over Texas Tech, Georgia State over Houston, Liberty over Mississippi State, or St. Louis over Virginia Tech? If you had to pick one, do you have any confidence in those four?
I'll go Liberty there if you want to make...
That would be the one, maybe.
Yeah, make me take an upset.
That would be
give
I've
me
only
Liberty.
Seen, yeah, I've only seen Liberty once. But if you can actually say, give me Liberty, that's half of the, Patrick Henry.
Nicely done.
So, you know, there you go.
I think Houston is too. I think Houston is too physically tough for Georgia State for that to be an upset. Upset. And I think Texas Tech clamps down defensively too much for Northern Kentucky to win that
I
game.
I agree. St. Louis with Travis Ford as head coach is at least an interesting possibility against Virginia Tech, but I know you like Virginia Tech, and we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's the late game tonight.
Anyway, it's all tipping off in about 30 minutes or so. OTD and final notes to close it out as we continue in a moment. Shane and Bruce with you on this Friday edition. Sports Daily on the Sports Station, KFHB.